Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In just the past hour, cheers in Harvard Square.
Let me ask people here, how do you think the vote's going to go?
Jubilant Harvard dining hall workers there voting today to accept an agreement their union reached with Harvard University yesterday. Workers will end their strike later and return to work tomorrow. The three-week strike was the first on Harvard's campus in more than 30 years. The struggle of low-wage Americans working for the world's richest university became a microcosm, focusing us on the effects of income inequality. So what now for Harvard and other elite universities, and what's next for their workers? Well, Brian Lang is president of Unite Here Local 26, the union that represents over 700 Harvard dining hall workers. He joins us now from Cambridge. Brian Lang, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Good to be back.
So first of all, your reaction that this long three-week process has come to an end, and it looks like your members are going to vote to approve the agreement.
That's right. I think the vote will be overwhelming based on the meeting that we had at noon today, where hundreds of the strikers were jubilant in hearing the details of the settlement. But it was more than a three-week struggle. Back in May, we proposed very simple and modest demands on income and health care. Minimum income of $35,000, and no shift of health care costs onto the dining hall workers. And Harvard was tremendously resistant to both, ultimately it took 750 people standing together with sheer determination and courage and striking to achieve this.
Well, so let's talk about the first part of the agreement then. It seems as if the university has agreed to that $35,000 a year in wages for the dining hall workers. But of course, part of the sticking point was that many of the workers are unable to work on campus year round because there's no food to be served during the summer months. So how is that $35,000 being achieved?
Well, in a combination of ways. One is reasonable wage increases over the life of the contract, but to address the issue of the summer employment, 500 of the workers work directly for Harvard, and because of the state law, working for an educational institution, they can't collect unemployment. So what Harvard has agreed to is summer compensation for workers who are either completely laid off or their hours are reduced. And the combination of the wage increases and the summer compensation, along with no shift of cost of health care, has allowed us to achieve the $35,000 minimum annual income.
So originally Harvard was saying that health care co-payments might have to go up, what, $10, something like that for office visits, up to $100 for emergency room visits. So that's all gone now. Harvard's not going to have those increases for workers anymore.
Harvard is going to institute those increases in 2019. However, instead of the workers paying them, Harvard is going to pay them.
I see. And Brian, how long is this contract?
It's a five-year agreement.
Okay. And so the $35,000, is that just for year one?
It will go up from there in each successive year.
Okay. So how much is this costing Harvard?
This is just guess ballpark. It'll cost several million dollars over the life of the agreement.
Over the life of the agreement.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell me. So you were saying earlier that it took this three-week strike to change the conversation in this contract negotiation. On Tuesday, when an agreement finally was reached, what's the thing that took the parties, took you guys across the finish line?
Well, I think a couple of things. I think the support for the strikers was escalating after 3 weeks. Students walked out of class for the second time in a week, 600 of them. They marched the negotiating committee to the administration building. They occupied the building. Strikers surrounded the building with picket lines. That kind of activity was escalating on the campus. At the same time, the New York Times that morning ran an op-ed piece by one of the strikers. The Boston Globe later that day, the editorial board came out with a position supporting the strikers. The week before, President Drew Faust was fundraising in Germany, and unions there protested, and a couple of unionists got arrested in the protest in support of the Harvard strikers. So there was an international focus on this particular struggle because of Harvard's reputation in the world.
Mm. So do you have you heard from union leaders and workers on other campuses? And do you think that we'll start seeing more of this? I mean, I'm seeing that Tufts janitors will vote on Thursday about whether or not to strike if they don't reach an agreement with the Tufts management company.
Yes, they will. And that same union that represents the Tufts custodians also represents custodians on the campus of Harvard, and that contract is expiring in mid-November. We work very closely with them. We have pledged our support to them as they had to us during our contract campaign.
Right. And Brian, my final question to you is what's your message to these other elite institutions of higher education? I mean, nobody's got the endowment that Harvard does at $35 billion plus, but many of them are very, very wealthy. And what's your message to them in terms of how they should be treating these employees who keep their campuses running?
Well, we represent workers on 13 campuses in the Boston area, and our message to them is that the $35,000 minimum annual income that we've achieved at Harvard, get ready, because that's exactly what we're going to be expecting from you. And the next one up is Northeastern University.
Well, I should say that we reached out to Harvard and asked if someone from the university could join us today. No one was available, but they did send a statement from Executive Vice President of Harvard, Katie Lapp, who wrote in an email to the Harvard community on Tuesday that the agreement reached represents a fair and reasonable resolution to negotiations. So with that thought there, I'm going to say, Brian, thank you so very much for joining us. Brian Lang is president of Unite Here Local 26, the union that represents over 700 Harvard dining hall workers. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.